So this series is really comes out of one of our values as a church. We've adopted values to help shape our behaviour, and one of our values is to live generous lives in response to God's overwhelming sort of grace and generosity that He's shown us. And so we've on the first week we thought about how Jesus says to His followers, He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock," and this idea that actually the way the world is at the moment, and we're all looking at our finances and how we save money. And Liz and I, my wife and I, we've just been thinking this week about how we better insulate our windows. We're all thinking about those sort of things, aren't we? And about the cost. And so Jesus speaks into that, this kind of prophetic word, and says, "Do not be afraid, little flock." And we thought about Jesus, the fact that He's our shepherd, that He's our Father, and that He's our King. And so we can approach our finances with that kind of backdrop, really. And and then the second week, we particularly thought about this ownership myth, that actually when we look at what we have, whether it's our belongings, whether it's our money, and this thing that this little voice that says, "Well, you can't give it away because it's mine. It's mine." And then we talked about Gollum in the Lord of the Rings in that, and kind of, you know, how he gets obsessed with the ring and he calls it his precious. And we said, actually, it's a myth, because actually everything comes from God, and actually it's on loan to us. And I think that's a mind shift change as well, that when we understand that, then actually we become a little bit more open-handed.
So lots of great stuff. Today, what are you going to be talking about today?
Today is kind of the final part of this, as you've said. So we're going to look at kind of three principles as we delve into kind of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And really, we're going to be thinking, right in the middle of it, we're going to be thinking about that when we're generous, a generous life is, it's cheerful, it's gleeful, and it's hilarious. And all that comes from that passage, kind of our attitude towards generosity needs to be cheerful, gleeful, and hilarious.
Excellent. Well, I think we should look at the passage.
Great.
Let me read it. This is 2 Corinthians 9 from verse 6 to the end. "Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift."
So, as I said to Sally just now as we were chatting, today in this final part of our series, we're going to look at 3 final principles to help us to live generous lives. And I think they're all very clearly here in this passage in 2 Corinthians 9. So let's jump straight in. And the first principle that I want us to think about is this, that a generous life reaps what it sows. A generous life reaps what it sows. It says here in verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, and it seems to me that this is a principle that we find not just here in 2 Corinthians, but we find it all the way through the Bible. It's one of the principles that God has kind of placed into his creation. And it's right there in the Old Testament and numerous times in the New Testament, this repeated message that when we engage with creation, when we live our lives, we reap what we sow. So, for example, it's there, isn't it, for those of us who are gardeners, for those of us who grow vegetables, maybe, or fruit. If you sow tomato seeds, you will get tomatoes. I love growing chilies at home in my back garden and making chili sauce and wonderful, incredibly hot sauces out of them. When I sow my chili seeds, I don't expect to get apples or carrots. I will get chilies. And here in Scripture, we see that it plays out in different areas of our lives as well. You know, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, it talks about the fact, you know, if we live mean and sinful and evil lives, then that will tend to come back on us. In fact, in Galatians 6, it says that God won't be tricked. It says you reap what you sow. And in so many areas of our lives, that will happen to us. You know, if we're continually kind of mean and unkind and bullying to other people, we will sow that, and we probably won't have many people who want to be our friends. And here the idea is picked up as a principle for living a generous life. The extent to which we're prepared to live generously will come back on us. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, if we're generous with what God has given us, what he's lent us, then he will give us more. Now listen, it's really important we listen into this point. What I'm not preaching here is a prosperity gospel that you might hear preached in some places. You know, I don't think that if I'm generous that God's going to give me more so that I can become rich. This isn't a sermon where I'm about to say, and if you give to the church so that Mark can buy his own private jet, then you're going to be richer. That's not what we're talking about here. Listen, the purpose here, and it's really clear in this passage, is that if we live generous lives, we will also reap generously. Not so that I can become more rich, so that you can become more rich, but that so that we can be more generous, that we can give more away. You know, it says here in the rest of the passage, in verses 10 and 11, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, so who's that? That's God. Will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So, God is going to give us more. Why? You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. The more we're generous with what God has given us, the more he's going to give us. He's going to give us more seed. He's going to give us more food. He's going to give us more store. He's going to enlarge our harvest. Why? So that we can be generous on every occasion. It's almost like God is looking for people within his creation who are generous. And he's going, great, Bob is generous. I'm going to give Bob more so that he can be more generous. Look, June is generous. I'm going to give June more so that she can be more generous. Or maybe sometimes he looks at me and says, well, Mark's not being very generous. I'm going to give him a bit less until he learns to be more generous. It's this principle that we reap what we sow. Why? So that you and I can be more generous on every occasion. And I love this. It says that later on in the passage, it says the recipients give thanks to God. As we're generous, as we give more, and as we're more generous to other people, they'll start to give thanks to God. Isn't that incredible? They perhaps for the first time start to recognise God in their lives. So that's the first principle. If we want to live generous lives, we need to understand that we reap what we sow. The more we practice generosity, the more opportunities God's going to give us to be generous people. The second principle is this, and this is the one we're going to spend most time on today, is that a generous life is cheerful, it's gleeful, and it's hilarious. I love this, that it's here in the Bible, that giving generous and living generous lives is cheerful, it's gleeful, it's hilarious. We're going to dig into this in a little time. You know, I've said before, I grew up with a family of five. I've got two sisters. I've got an older sister and I've got a younger sister. And, you know, we, as every family would, we would celebrate our birthdays. And I clearly remember moments when it was my birthday, 29th of January. You can put it in your diaries now. But I can clearly remember moments on my birthday where my sisters would have to give me presents that they kind of wanted themselves. Now, there were lots of times when my sisters gave me presents that they never wanted. They didn't want the Transformer robots that I loved growing up with. They didn't want the Star Wars figures that I loved and would get for my birthday growing up. So they were quite happy for me to have those. But if my parents gave me chocolate, if they gave me some of our favourite sweets, then a different thing came into play. And I remember those moments when my sisters would kind of go, well, happy birthday, Mark, hand over a present, but kind of hold on to it. And there would be this kind of tug of war. And I'd go, well, is it for me? And I'd go, well, thank you. And then they would kind of hold on to it because they really wanted it themselves. Maybe you've had that experience in your lives where somebody's giving you something, but it's kind of a reluctant heart. They don't really want you to have it. Well, this is what Paul starts to talk about here, our attitude to giving. He says each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Now, there were those moments when my sisters gave reluctantly or under compulsion. You know, my parents were watching, give it to him, you know, and they didn't really want to. That's not the attitude that God wants us to have when we give and when we live generous lives. What's the attitude God wants to have? He says he loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Now the word cheerful here in the Greek is the Greek word hilaron. And actually, when that's translated, we could translate it as cheerful, as the Bible translators have done here. Perhaps closer is gleeful. So actually, it's kind of even more cheerful is great, but you know, gleeful kind of suggests the smile gets bigger, the joy gets bigger. And in fact, in our language today, this word hilaron is the root of our word hilarious. Now, if I find something hilarious, if I'm watching one of my favourite comedies on TV, do you know what happens? My head throws back, I'm laughing, it's a proper belly laugh. I feel it in every part of my body. God loves a cheerful, a gleeful, a hilarious giver. That actually, as we hand over what we've got to give, as we say to God, take this, use it, our smile gets bigger, our joy increases. Maybe even we laugh as we see those people or those situations we're giving to enjoy what we give. The good news here is that a generous life isn't a miserable life. It's not about giving begrudgingly. It's not about giving under compulsion. It's giving because we really want to. Because it gives us glee. It gives us hilarity. It makes us cheerful. It's so good that God has designed a generous life to be in this way. That it's fun to give. It puts a smile on our faces. As it says elsewhere in the New Testament, where it's reported that Jesus says, it's better to give than to receive. It really is. It really is. We become cheerful. We become gleeful. We find it hilarious. And this attitude starts in our hearts. You see, cheerful, gleeful and hilarious giving is heartfelt. Each of you should give what you have decided in our hearts to give. This is so important that when we live a generous life, that we ask God to start it in our hearts. God, give me a generous heart. Give me a generous heart. You know, so much, the Bible talks about so much about who we are begins in our hearts. You know, it talks in the Bible that our hearts is the spring of life. That kind of who we are, our very life comes from our heart. Now, Bible writers say to God, give me a pure heart so that I might love you, so that I might worship you. It says in the Bible, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. David at one point says, search my heart, know me, God, and search my heart. Why? Because he knows that that's where it really is. Who he is in his heart. Another part of the Bible, it says that God weighs our hearts to discover who we are. In other words, this language we're using here and that Paul uses here about deciding in our hearts is at the core of who we are, in our souls, in the heart of who we are. What makes Mark Mark is where my generosity starts. It takes a conscious, heartfelt decision to live generous lives and to give cheerfully and gleefully and hilariously. Because it doesn't always make sense. You know, logically, in the climate we find ourselves in at the moment, it probably doesn't make sense, logically, in our heads, to still live generously. We're bombarded with headlines saying, you know, the cost of living is going up. Why logically would we give more? Or why logically would we continue to give at the level we've been giving? Paul's saying here, don't decide in your head. Decide in the heart. Decide at the core of who you are. It's where Jesus is, isn't it? In our hearts. In Ephesians 3, it tells us that Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts. In other words, we're making a decision from where Jesus is, where his spirit resides. A heartfelt decision. Yeah, God, I'm going to give. I want to live a generous life because I want to be gleeful. I want to be cheerful. I want to live a hilarious life that puts a smile on my face. You know, when we decide in our hearts what to give, it's a deeper, more profound decision, I think, than sometimes just thinking it through. And it makes us smile. Now, it makes us smile because when we give in this way, God multiplies what we give. I love this. You know, it says it here that this is this reaping and sowing principle, isn't it, that we started with. That when we give, God multiplies it. He does incredible things with us. You see, God gives to us. And then we give, and God gives more, and does more with it. And so God gives us more, and so we give, and then God does more with it. And so God gives us more, so we give, and God does more with it. In God's hands, what we give is multiplied. We see this time and time again in the Bible. You know, can you think of a time in Scripture where somebody gives to God, where God takes what somebody's got and multiplies it? Perhaps the most famous story is in the Gospels where Jesus feeds 5,000 people. How does he do that? With a little boy's packed lunch. And he multiplies the bread, he multiplies the fish. So it goes on and on and on. In fact, it tells us there's 12 baskets left over. There's too much. There's too much to go around. In 1 Kings 4, Elijah comes across that widow who has very little. And God blesses the oil that she has, and it's multiplied so she can pay her debts, and also she can live on it. Later on in 1 Kings 17, Elijah meets that widow who has very little. In fact, she thinks she's going to die, and her son and her are going to die from starvation, because she's just got a little bit of flour left. And Elijah says, go and make your bread, and you'll find that it multiplies. You'll find that you've got too much. And that's what happens in her occasion. It multiplies. And when we give our tithe, the tenth of what we give to God, God does more than we can imagine. What we're going to be giving to the food bank, God's going to do more than we can imagine. What we give to walk through the Bible, God's going to do more than we can imagine. And it puts a smile on our face. It's gleeful. It's cheerful. It's hilarious. We go, what? God, you've done that? Imagine the disciples when they were on that hill with Jesus and they have that small packed lunch and they're kind of embarrassed. And imagine their look on their faces when they're collecting 12 baskets. I think they found it hilarious. Look what God's done. It was just a little boy's lunch. And now we've got too much. It's cheerful. It's gleeful. It's hilarious when we give to God because He can multiply what we have. Look at the end of, towards the end of the passage, we read, this is the Message translation. Paul writes this, when we give to God, he says, God can pour on the blessings in an astonishing way, so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. Can you get the message there? That when we give to God, He pours on it, He blesses it, and we can do more than needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out. They never wear out. Do you get the message? When we give to God, He multiplies what we have. As I was preparing this sermon, the sort of simple picture God gave me involved a sponge. I've got a sponge here. And the picture that God gave me is, a sponge. If I take this sponge now, I can squeeze it and I can hold it in my fist. In fact, you can't even see it. And when we hold on to what God's given us, if we hold on with it, if we're tight-fisted, if we're tight-handed with what God has given us, it's only ever going to stay the same as it is. In fact, it'll get smaller. When we're open-handed, it expands and grows and becomes more than what it was. I find that a really helpful picture. When I think about what God has given me in my life, I think about the money in my bank account, when I think about my belongings, my time, I can hold on to it. And it will only ever stay like that. Or I can open my hand and it expands. When we're generous, we live generous life, God expands, He increases what we give Him. We've seen this in our own lives, in this church. Some of the groups that we give to, God expands what we've given them. I remember a few years ago when we gave to the Chandawana Foundation, two of our members, Simba and Bertha, have this incredible work over in Zimbabwe. And they wanted, for one of the schools that they work with, a solar-powered water pump so that school could have fresh running water. Up until then, they had to go quite a distance to get their water. And so we raised some money, and the church gave so generously. Maybe you're one of those people. And we were able to put this solar pump in. In fact, we were able to raise so much, we could put a better solar pump in. And what happened was, in fact, it was so effective, and God blessed it. He, as it says here, He poured out His blessings in an astonishing way, that actually that pump served the school we wanted, plus another school down the road was able to take water from that solar pump. So it wasn't just one school, suddenly it was two schools. And then the pump was so effective that they were able to, in a field nearby, they were able to plant some fruit trees. And then the fruit that was then grown was able to be given out to the community. And more trees and saplings were taken. And so more trees were planted. What started as one idea, and it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. When that appeal came up, we could have said, well, God, do you know what? It's difficult. Times are hard. We haven't got it. And we could have held on to what God had given us. But we said, no, God, take what we've got. Take an offering from us, Lord. And He expanded it. And it grew into something incredible. Now it reminds me of what it says in Malachi 3 verse 10. Really famous. Bring your tithe. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury. Give to God, in other words. So there will be ample provisions in my temple. And God says, test me in this. And see if I don't open up heaven itself to you. And pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For me, that sounds like a cheerful, a gleeful, a hilarious way to live. Testing God so that He can pour out blessings beyond our wildest dreams. You know, as we said at the moment, we are going through so much. We'll say we're used to headlines like this, aren't we? About the rising costs of living, about fuel poverty in particular going up. And I think at this moment in time, God needs, our community needs a generous church, a generous community to give to him. A number of people in our church have said, well, Mark, what are we going to do to help our community at this time? And, you know, we've been thinking and we've been praying about what we can do. And there's two ways as a church that we're going to respond to this. And maybe these two ideas kind of chime with you. And maybe you think, do you know what? I could do that. I could help give towards those two responses. And I can give cheerfully. I can give gleefully. I can give hilariously. You know, and I can open my hand so that God can expand what he wants to do. The two things that we're going to be doing, and this comes through some meetings I've been in locally and with other churches and with other people. First thing we're going to be doing is that we've registered our church as a warm, welcome space. Now, this is particularly, we're thinking about our community cafe, Oasis. And so we're now going to be registered locally as a warm, welcome space. And this is with other churches, but also with the CVS Tendering Group as well, which is a great community group that works locally. And, you know, we're going to be opening up our coffee shop and we're going to be inviting people to come and sit if they're cold, if they're facing fuel poverty. And the times that we're open are going to be made known. Now, we're also thinking of maybe even expanding how we open our coffee shop. Perhaps not operating it in the same way with such a big team, but maybe an evening a week would be fantastic for a few hours, because that's when it gets coldest. Putting some board games out, putting some flasks of hot chocolate and tea and coffee out, and just very simply just opening it up for a few hours, maybe one evening a week, for those people who are finding it hard to heat their homes. Now you think, I could give to that. I could give a couple of evenings, or I could give an evening a week. Have a think. Yeah, you might think, well, it's just a couple of hours. Well, God will expand that and will bless it. The second thing we're going to be doing is that we're planning to offer a weekly meal free to anyone who's struggling with the rising costs of living. Now, this is brand new for us in many ways. But we feel it's right as a leadership team on a Wednesday evening between 5 and about 6:30 to open up and just to say there's going to be a free hot meal, two courses for anybody who's struggling at this time. And they can come on their own as a couple or with a family and just enjoy that meal. It's going to be a warm space, so they can come be warm, but also just get a meal as well. We've got somebody who's committed to cook that meal every week for the next few months, which is incredible. But we do need a team of maybe another 8 people each evening, each Wednesday evening, to help make that happen. Some people to help prep and maybe clear up. Some people maybe just to go on the tables and just chat to people as well. Is that something that maybe you think, I could do that? Well, between November and March, we want to make that happen for our community. Meals matter. And we're going to be partnering with another group down in Walton who already run these meals. If you think that chimes with you, if you think, yeah, do you know what? I could do that. And if you can give to those cheerfully, gleefully, hilariously, maybe you think, do you know what? I could help fund those meals. If you've got spare money, then you can give to the church and say, this is specifically for Meals Matter. Maybe you want to give some time. Get in touch with us. We'd love you to be a part of that. You know, we give a little and God expands it and turns it into something incredible. Puts a smile on our face, makes us cheerful, makes us gleeful. Maybe we find it hilarious when we see what God does. Final principle, very quickly, is this. Sorry. A generous life is my only response to the gospel. This brings this whole series to a close. You know, ultimately, we choose to live generous lives because it's the only appropriate response to what Jesus has done for us. Now, this is the heart of our value here as a church, that we live generous lives in response to God's overwhelming grace towards us. How else can we respond when we fully realise what Jesus has done for us? You know, the word gospel, you'll know this, it means good news. And it's good news what Jesus has done for each one of us. Jesus has given his life, the Bible tells us, to pay our debt. I love how it puts it here in Colossians chapter 2. He, Jesus, forgave all our sins. Not just one or two of them, all of them. Having cancelled our debt, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. That's the good news of what Jesus has done for me. I had a debt, I couldn't pay it. I had no chance of paying it. I'd racked up a really sorry list of stuff that I had done wrong. Bible calls that sin. Things that put a gap between me and God. I had no chance of a relationship with God. I had no chance of eternal life. I was never going to pay that debt. And the truth is the same for everybody who's ever lived. What did Jesus do? He took that debt and he's wiped it. He's wiped it. He's the only person who could ever have done that. And that's what he's done for you, and that's what he's done for me. And when we understand the generosity that Jesus has shown, it cost him everything. The only response, we cannot help but respond by living generous lives. Our passage in 2 Corinthians 9 puts it this way. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And my generosity is a confession of the gospel. It's saying, this is what Jesus has done for me, so I want to bless you. God, I want to give back to you because you've given to me. It's us confessing that we've understood the gospel. And it goes on to say, because of the surpassing grace. That's how he describes it, this generosity that God's shown us is a surpassing grace. Thanks be to God for his, and it finishes, his indescribable gift. God's grace to me, his generosity to me, is indescribable. And that's a lot for a man to say who enjoys using a lot of words. But even I cannot describe just how generous God has been towards me and towards you. What I can do, my only response, your only response, if we fully understand the gospel, is to live fully generous lives that are cheerful, that are gleeful, that are hilarious in how we give. A generous life, let's just sum up, reaps what it sows. You know, when we're generous, God gives us more to give away. A generous life is cheerful, it's gleeful, it's hilarious because God multiplies what we give. And your only response, my only response, is to live a generous life if we fully understood what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray together. And as we pray, as we finish this series, I just want to put this verse that we looked at earlier in Malachi 3. And let's just pray this through together, shall we? And let's ask God that we would be people who live these generous lives, that we bring our full tithe, that we bring to God what he's given us already. And that we're brave enough to test him with our generosity so that he can pour out his abundant blessing on us. Let's pray together. And Father, at the end of this series on living generous lives, we feel that challenge once again. But Father, we also just see how wonderful it is with what you do, with what you give to us and what we give back to you. Father, would you work on our hearts, we pray. We realize that generosity starts in our hearts, that it's heartfelt. Come and work on my heart. Maybe as you're praying this, just put your hand on your heart. Say, God, help me to make heartfelt, generous decisions. Jesus, you, by your Spirit, live in my heart. Transform me from the inside out so that I can bring my full tithe to you, God. Because I know you will do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine, that you will multiply what I give. I long to live a generous life that is cheerful, that is gleeful, that is hilarious, as I see what you're doing with what I give. Multiply it, we pray. Open my eyes to opportunities to be generous, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.